Hey, we're live from STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri, and I got on the line. I almost called you Mean Gene, but, you know, we did lose Mean Gene during the last time we talked, and so I didn't want to bring you on like that, but how the hell are you, Gene?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm excited about the first Was It Really That Good of the new year.
Yeah, and, you know, I usually start apologizing about this time, but if this is the first time you're listening to this episode or this show, Was It Really That Good? What we do is we bring some old wrestling and we watch it. It's either on YouTube or it's on the WWE Network. And what happens is we'll watch it and we'll go, damn, that sucked. Because everybody always talks about, oh, that was so good. Old school is so good, blah, blah, blah. And I've really picked some stinkers for a couple first couple of episodes. But I think we might have a winner here tonight. But let's go over it. I picked Power Pro Wrestling January the 8th, 2000. So we're talking in 19 years old. So to think that was 19 years old is kind of crazy.
It really is, man. That's when I was watching that today, and it was hitting me how old that was, because it doesn't feel like that long ago. Because now we're getting into, you know, an area with a lot of guys that we know and had a lot of interaction with. So to, you know, realize that show was that long ago starts making me feel old.
Oh, God, yes. You know, and I made a note. We've had some of the people that we're going to talk about. We've actually had them on the show, and I'll make note of what shows they were on. But, yeah, a lot of those people, the funny thing is, I guess four or five of those people I text, I talk to, not on a regular basis, but when I was involved in the area, I did. So let's get started. First, I want to put over Randy Hales real quick. He has a podcast. Randy was the owner and operator of Power Pro Wrestling. And if you'll look Randy up at RB Hales, that's at RB Hales. If you like what we're talking about, and the link will be on there, and you can grab the link and watch it. He has the whole Power Pro collection for sale. I have not got any of those yet because I'm afraid if I get started now, I'll probably go through the whole thing and it'll cost me some money. But guys, if you want to watch one of the last territorial promotions, that was it, and it has tons of people on it. This is from, like I said, January of 2000, and it started out with a clip from 2 weeks back, and where Bradley had sent Steve Bradley had sent Trailer Park Trash through a table. I want to make note of this because Steve Bradley did an interview with Cornette, and Cornette said nothing.
That is definitely of note for sure.
I was like, oh my God, he said absolutely nothing. Steve, we're going to talk about him a couple of times. I know I will during this, talking about this show. But Bradley was so good, Gene.
Oh, yes. Steve Bradley was ahead of his time. If Steve Bradley would have came along in the last 10 years, he'd be one of the biggest stars in the business. Unfortunately, we were still kind of in that big man stage at that time. And, you know, then he run upon some other problems in his life. But if the Steve Bradley that was in the Power Pro that we watched for this episode had came along in the past few years, he would be at the top of the business right now, no doubt.
Guys, he is just one of those guys, and if you've never seen him work, never seen his interviews, go out of your way. Just type him in YouTube. Gene, you're 100% right. Everyone talks about, and I'm a fan of Kenny Omega, but when you talk about guys like that, we would be talking about Steve Bradley if he was alive. If he would have come along, like you said, right now, he is a guy that would be huge in this business. All right, we got the first match here. It was Jason Lee was out with Derek King. Derek King is CB Wyatt at ringside against Rico. And you know what, Gene? I could never pronounce his last name. So
Constantino.
There we go. Man, he was good too. You know, I remember him being a WWE, but man, he was so smooth. Jason Lee also good. I just don't remember him being that good, but I guess Rico was really, really good.
You know, I was the same way. It's the same note I had made that, you know, I don't. Every time I think of Rico, I either think of his little his little run as the knockoff Adrian Street in WWE, or the time he managed Chuck and Billy. And I really didn't remember him being that good in Ohio Valley and Power Pro, but he had a good little match here with Jason Lee, who looked like the lost Holly cousin before that was even a thing. And it was cool to see C.B. Wyatt and Derek at ringside, because around that time, C.B. Wyatt was coming to Corinth with us, and I got to spend a lot of time around him. And how fun is it that even in a match, this was so Power Pro, that even in a match that Derek King's not involved in, he still had to do the job.
Don't you love it? And hey, you know, they're cousins, and they're always Dave Brown, who's totally just awesome. And then we got Big Moo Corey Macklin in there, which yes. He said it about three times. But they're, you know, nudge, nudge. One is black, one is white. They're cousins. Get it?
Yeah, the switch thing was actually a very funny spot to try to do. I really enjoyed the finish.
Yeah, they did a double down, and Jason rolls out, and Derek rolls in, does the old nightmare gimmick spot where you're not supposed to be able to tell. The referee lets it go, and Rico pins Derek. Fun stuff. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I agree. It was a pretty good way to start the show.
Yeah, and then we got another clip from 2 weeks ago, still building the trailer chart. Trailer Park Trash against Bradley with Flash pinning the champion. Flash came out for an interview about Rico. Flash wants a title shot. Then Cornette and Bradley came out. Then Rico came out, who was the champ at the time.
The thing that stood out to me about that promo is every single person in that promo, including Cornette, yelled, "Let me tell you something," before they started talking, which is just my pet peeve of all time of wrestling promos, is that whole "let me tell you something." It's the most overused line ever.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like all these guys, and I didn't even notice that. I still, Rico looks so much different than he did when he did the WWE thing. And when we had Kenny Boland on, he talked about Rico being one of those guys that he thought was going to be a lot bigger than he was. And I could see it here. I mean, he's really smooth in the ring, and he comes off as, he was their champ. So they come back from commercial. I don't know if you noticed this. Did you notice them Goober fans that were in the front row? One of them had the buck teeth, and they had these homemade signs. And I don't know who the hell that was. They looked horrible.
Yeah, even more so than usual. I mean, there's always a few questionable ones out there. But yeah, I don't know where they trucked these in from. But they must have made a trip up from Mississippi, I guess.
They did. They had those fake Bubba teeth, is what they were called. It was just, I was cracking up. And then Randy came out, made an announcement, and Derek cracked me up here. He called Randy Stickman.
Yeah, I caught that.
He said Stickman, and Randy goes, "If you call me that again, you'll be suspended," or something like that. I was cracking up because, you know, behind the scenes, these two guys are best friends, still best friends. So they talk to each other all the time. You know, the guys like him and Brandon are still friends forever. Randy came off really smooth here as the, man in charge and like the old Eddie Marlin role. And I really liked it. I mean, Randy, he acted like he was in charge and people knew he was. Something, did you notice just how fucking hot the crowd was during all of this? I just the little things.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising to me. But before we move past this promo, is there anything about Jason Lee's promo that stood out to you?
No, not really.
Okay, so you didn't notice a phrase in there that just felt like painfully out of place on Memphis TV?
I must have missed this one. That's why I have you here, Gene.
When he discussed he told him to lower the camera so he could show him his hair way to heaven.
Oh my God. Yes, he said that, but it just went over my head.
Two, we have skills unmatched by anyone, but the most important thing we got, well, of course, I got the hair way to heaven. Lower that camera. Get a shot of this, baby. You see that? You see that? That's called a hair way to heaven. heaven, and we all know what a wonderful place heaven is. But aside from that, the other thing that me and my ties and our personal stylist.
Yeah.
And the look on Dave Brown's face was priceless. Because I've noticed, like, you know, Dave Brown did a podcast with Scott Bowden a while back, and he kind of talked about how, you know, him being the liaison from, you know, this WMC, you know, certain things registered more with him than anybody. So with that in mind, whenever I watch this old Memphis stuff, be it the really old stuff or the Power Pro or whatever, I try to keep an eye on Dave Brown's face to see what registers with him when people say stuff. And when he said that, the look on Dave Brown's face was priceless, much like later when one of the who was it? Somebody said the word testicles, and he looked like he was going to have a conniption. But I felt like, man, 2000 Power Pro, like, okay, you know, maybe on the Russo era Raw, but on 2000 Power Pro on WMC on Saturday morning, like, airway to heaven, lower the camera and show them, just felt really weird.
Well, you know, the thing about it is there's all kinds of, everyone has a story about Dave. Apparently, everybody pissed him off at one time or another, and they felt bad about it. That's a funny thing. Almost all the guys you talked to said, oh, we pissed him off. But, man, Bowden talks about it, calling Randy retarded, you know, and that really that pissed off Dave. So that was one of the funniest things ever. So we got Alan Steele, and who was his tag team partner at the time?
Lance Jade.
Alan Steele actually joined us for episode 81. We mentioned Derek earlier. He was on episode 119 and 123 if you want to hear. But, man, I actually messaged Alan just for the hell of it, and Derek, after watching this. Alan had only been in the business for 2 years when this match happened. He was still so smooth at 2 years into the business. I mean, he was smooth as I don't know what.
You know, I got to when he and Johnny Dotson first showed up in Corinth. Rodney Grimes put me with them, and we were kind of a threesome for a little while there. And I always thought that Alan, of all the Memphis guys of that age group and era, would be one that would go on to make it somewhere. Because even in his first handful of matches, like you said, he was just really smooth. Everything was just really natural with him. And I just always thought he was a really talented guy, and I really thought he would go farther than he has so far. And that's not a knock on anything he has done, but I'm just saying, you know, his work just always really stood out to me from the get-go. And here's a little bit of trivia. Any idea where Lance Jade is, or whatever happened to him?
No, I got no idea.
I don't either. I was just curious. Robbie D, who was, you know, they wrestled Robbie D and Bulldog Reigns, and I ran into, once I moved over here to Alabama and started doing some wrestling over at Pro South, I ran into Bulldog Reigns a few times. He was working over in Georgia running his own show over there, and I believe Robbie D passed away, didn't he, a few years ago?
I didn't even remember him, Gene. I actually messaged, and I, in my mind, I thought Lance Jade had died too, but I may be wrong about that.
And maybe he did. I'm not sure, because he just kind of one of those guys that just fell off the map, you know.
But Robbie, he told me, Alan did, that Robbie was real freaking athletic. You know, you can see it in this match, but he's real green. And he said that he was a shooter too. And that you couldn't get anything on him. So he was called Slick Robbie D, and I don't remember him at all. And then the tag team was horribly named, the D-Dog Posse. The D-Dog Posse.
Corey Macklin seemed to enjoy saying it the several times that he did. But, yes, it was a terrible name. And, you know, at a glance, as he was just – when they were coming back from commercial or whatever, and you just see him stepping through the ropes, at a glance, I thought he was rude – from Naughty by Nature until he got in the ring and I seen how tall he was. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's that Robbie D guy. But for a moment, I thought he was Robbie D, just like when I first saw Rico Constantino come through the curtain and I just saw the back of his head. I thought he was Paul Diamond until I saw his face and realized who he was.
I did, too. I said, what is Paul Diamond doing on this? had no idea what was going on. Now, the guy that came out next, was he was one of the Basham brothers, right?
Yes, he was Danny Basham. The Damager is what they called him in OVW and Power Pro. And then, you know, him and Doug Basham got paired up as the Basham Brothers, which, not that Danny Basham's a great name, but it's certainly better than the Damager.
Damager. Well, they did it. I thought all of this that happened was so freaking smart. They first had him come out. He, you know, squashed Scotty Sabre, which Scotty didn't get a move in. He just put the Cobra Clutch on him, and blood came out of his mouth. Then Nick Disbor comes out, and then they have this match that's real competitive, and I'm wondering why hell it's competitive since they've been trying to push this guy coming in. But then they, you know, they end up putting over Damager. But man, was that match good or what?
It really was. I wasn't expecting that to come out of that squash. You know, I thought, okay, well, they're letting him come in and kill this guy on his debut, and that's cool. And then Dinsmore came out, and I thought, well, they're not going to let him squash Dinsmore. And then they ended up having a really good match, like you said. And but then at the end, he still went over and got his move over even more. But, you know, Dinsmore looked great in the process, and it was really well done. All the stuff, which I'm sure, you know, Cornette had a big hand in it, as, you know, even though it was Randy's deal. All of it was, you know, really well done. I liked most of the angles that we've seen so far through the show.
That match was just, it held up very well. It was one of those matches where there wasn't really a little bit of psychology, but not a huge amount of psychology, but it was like, get on TV and do as much as you can. And those guys, I didn't actually see how long it was, but it just was a real I was just kept saying, wow, this match could be on TV right now and it would be considered a great match. And everyone talks about flippity floppity, man. Those guys were doing everything in the book and coming back, jumping up. You know, they weren't staying down from one move very long and stuff like that. Just a great match. Nick was probably, after looking at this and remembering him, he probably was one of the most underrated guys ever after being stuck with that gimmick, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I used to get the tape from OVW, and he was such a good wrestler, you know, and had guys like Benoit, and it's unfortunate that his legacy will be Eugene in the WWE for the most part, but he played it well.
He
did so much more if given the opportunity. But he did most with what they gave him. He's still getting mileage out of it. So.
Right. All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back with Gene Jackson out of commercial there. Gene, I want to put over Randy Hills again real quick. He does have a podcast. I don't think I mentioned it. It's called Memphis Memories, and it's on all the podcasts. Platforms. His Twitter handle is at RBHales, and he also has a website, is RandyHalesMemphisWrestling.com, and he sells, he's got all kinds of stuff, you know, Memphis stuff. Mainly he's selling Power Pro Wrestling. That's what we're talking about here today.
Well, that's cool. I've actually got a lot of Power Pro DVDs that I traded for several years ago that I still haven't made it through all of them yet, but I guess he's got the whole run, so I think I'm missing some stuff.
Yeah, he starts at the very beginning, goes all the way through. They did a real big special with just the, you could get the Cornette, just the Cornette shows, which would be pretty interesting, but he has really jumped in the last few months and got back involved in wrestling, and Randy has a lot of energy. You can hear it on the podcast. They did a Power Pro show with Blade was on there along with Derek King and Tony Williams. And Alan Steele, Alan Steele. Tony Williams got a hell of a story. And guys, if you'll go and listen to that episode, it's, as Randy said, it's kind of a clusterfuck, but there is some really interesting stuff, especially from people that you haven't heard about in a while. So let's talk about, this is a guy that, you know, I'm originally moved from Jonesboro, Arkansas to St. Louis, Missouri a few years back. And this Brandon Baxter guy, you know, I hear him on the radio in Jonesboro all the time. And he starts the interview where he brings out Ali. What did you think about Ali?
Well, you know, I had seen Ollie, you know, I was wrestling in Corinth a lot at the time, and Ollie had turned up around there as Atomic Dog Steve Sharp.
Yep.
So I had seen him wrestle there and a little bit in Nashville, and he had actually come work for Leslie Jones a couple times for IWF, and had a match with Big Don Brody, where after the match, Big Don Brody powerbombed JD McKay through a table, which was fun. Probably not for JD, but for me.
My arch nemesis. That's my arch nemesis, JD McKay. I got a podcast. This podcast gets syndicated on this website, and they wanted me to write a bio. So the bio said I had a 30-something-year-old feud with JD McKay. So there you go.
Oh, there you go. JD or JD McCain as Corey Macklin.
Oh yeah, McCain. But, yeah, there we go. Big that boom, was a TV name. Boom.
But you know, he was a big guy, and Ollie looked like somebody who would maybe eventually make it to the WWF, especially with Power Pro's tie-ins, and he never did, but he was certainly impressive on Memphis TV, and I don't know, it was kind of weird, but I guess it was maybe just the times, you know, like he was the baby face, but like, you know, there, he was the least sympathetic baby face in the world. You know, he goes out there, he bows up on these two guys, and, you know, Sin comes out with her big threat of, well, you got to beat both of them for Brandon Baxter to get me in the ring. And he's like, okay, I'll whip both these guys' asses, and proceeded to do just that. And then Brandon come in and he got over on Sin. So it's like, well, okay, there's nothing really to make us come to any of the towns to see that, because we just got everything we wanted right here on TV. So kind of a weird segment.
Yeah. I think you might have hit it there. I mean, they actually did something totally different than had been that you would do. And you know what? He was over, especially with that Memphis TV crowd. He always had kids in the crowd, which he had some there. They weren't his kids. I'm just saying there was kids that came there. And then there was the crowd was just loud when he was doing all the moves. But, yeah, he beat up Seven. And you know what? Seven looked small up against him. So I never met Ali. But I exchanged a lot of emails with him. It's just we had this conversation about something. He wasn't too happy about something I had wrote. So we went.
Go figure.
Go figure. You know, on a wrestling website.
That time, somebody was upset with you about something you wrote. I remember that.
Yeah. But we ended up being, you know, I mean, kind of clearing it up and him understanding what I was doing. BJ Payne. Who the hell is BJ Payne? I don't remember him. Do you?
He was an OVW guy around the time Cornette came in and all the OVW guys turned up. He showed up with them. And then as quickly as OVW kind of split off from Power Pro, he was gone again. But, yeah, he came from that end of the spectrum over there in Louisville.
Yeah, you know, I liked Sin. A lot of people say, oh, she don't look believable. But she looked like somebody that would just want to kick your ass and tell other people to beat you up kind of thing. And she was feuding with Brandon here, and Brandon just I mean, you know, it's no surprise that he's made a living, you know, on the radio. He's got mic skills and had mic skills his whole life. I like this segment. She sprayed something in his face, but the crowd was just real, real hot for everything that they did right there. And Brandon being a babyface manager, kind of weird, but because, you know, it's different. But, man, he was over with Ali.
Well, can I tell you something real quick that'll circle back around to where, you know, this segment started with you putting over Randy Hales in his podcast.
Right.
Years ago, I had Ollie Steve Sharp on my old Cheap Heat radio show.
Right. Oh, okay.
Which led to Randy Hales sending me an email out of obscurity when he was managing the Sonic over in Arkansas over there.
Yeah.
And he hit me up, and after some persuasion, I finally talked him into doing Cheap Heat Radio. And he was completely anti-wrestling at the time, but he agreed to do it. And he did a couple different episodes, which led to him talking to Brandon, which led to Brandon talking him into doing one of those Fourth in the Forest deals. And next thing you know, Randy's back involved in wrestling, and then here we are years later, he's hawking Power Pro DVDs and doing a podcast. And I dare say it's somewhat my fault. So
it is. It was all. And what I want you to tell everybody, what was his one thing about being on the podcast that he made sure that one person wasn't involved?
You
remember?
Yeah, he knew that I wrote for your website, and yeah, he's like, if I'm going to come on the show, Brian Trammell cannot be on there and cannot be involved. So yeah, we had to agree to that, because I had told you, you know, me and you were talking about guests to have on, because you and Brian Thompson was doing a show at the time too, and I said, man, it'd be really interesting to have Randy Hales on, because like nobody's heard from him in years. And you're like, yeah, but you know, he refuses to have anything to do with wrestling. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, he emails me out of the blue, talking about Ali's podcast. And then he wasn't quite sold. And when he heard, my podcast with Jamie Dundee is when he finally agreed to do it. Cause he's like, I've known Jamie for years and I've been listening to podcasts and shoot interviews. And he said, that's the first lucid conversation I've heard anybody record Jamie Dundee in years. And I said, yeah, I did it at 9 a.m. That's why.
Hey, me and Randy, you know, have mend fences since then. I was actually, you know, I'm man enough to say what we had heat over was something that I was just totally wrong about. Maybe one day we bring Randy on here and we'll talk about it, but I was in the wrong. You know, I know that's surprising that I would try to, you know, start shit and or say something that I shouldn't be saying around people I should have kept my mouth shut around. I know that surprises you, Gene, but it has happened. So, all right, so let's get to the main event real quick. I thought this was also a pretty damn good match. Bradley against Trailer Park Trash. I never was a Trailer Park Trash fan. I never got why he actually even got over. But apparently, you know, he's not a bad worker. Was not a bad worker. Solid in the ring. And I think he helps with OVW now, right? Or I may be totally wrong.
Oh, yeah. Sure. No. He's been behind the scenes at OVW for years, helping book and promoting towns and things like that. But I mean, come on, you can figure out how Trailer Park Trash got over. What was half the crowd at wrestling shows was Trailer Park Trash. He was one of their own, man. How would he not get over?
Well, there, I didn't think about that, but also it's because I liked him because he was the one thing I liked is he's different. You know, they had, you know, Bradley, who looked like a wrestler, blah, blah, blah. All these guys, the cool thing about Power Pro is they had a good roster, and almost everybody looked different. But Trailer Park did. This was a really good match, too, with him and Bradley kind of, you know, doing a hardcore match on TV. Not a lot of time for it. I think it was about 5 or 6 minutes. Ended up with, you know, Cornette had to interfere, and then we ended up Flash helped Trailer Park win. And then Flash ended up beating up Trailer Park too, right? Is that how it went? I think that's how it went. No, or he helped Bradley win. How did it go? I can't remember.
I forget. I was so taken with Trailer Park Trash's great promo, closing promo line of, I'm going to lay you on the floor like Johnson's wax. Which felt like it had to have come from Cornette, but he might have come up with that himself. But that just felt like a Cornette line.
I think he might have helped. He helped Trailer Park win, and Trailer Park pinned Bradley, and then he jumped Trailer Park and went off the.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Off. Yeah, yeah.
Flash come out and helped Trailer, because they kind of foreshadowed that a little bit, you know, when Bradley and Flash got into it, and Bradley and Cornette was pretty adamant about, you're not getting the shot for the title. It's going to be Bradley. And so he come out and he helped Trailer Park go over, and then immediately turned on him. So, you know, very Stone Cold-esque of Flash, the way that finish went down.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of updates I want to give you so that I found out some information. As we are recording, I'm texting all these people trying to find some information for us. Lance Jade is currently a politician. I don't know where or anything, but that's what he does. He is he's not dead, as I said. Robbie D actually committed suicide in jail. So you were right. Robbie's not around anymore. And I was told that Jason Lee still wrestles in the Louisville, Kentucky area, in Independence and stuff. And C.B. White still lives in Memphis, Tennessee. So that's where are they now? That's what I was told. So,
well, that's interesting. I knew I had heard over the years that Robbie D had passed. I didn't remember that it was in jail. That's wow. But that's interesting about Lance J. What did you think of? Did you have much interaction with Lance J during that time period?
I did not. I was not. This crew right here, I didn't have a lot of talking to either one of them. I did talk to Cornette and was at that show that I talked about earlier. And we talked a little bit, but when it came to this crew, I think Ollie's one of the few people I did talk to, but it wasn't like, it was later on than this. And then after Power Pro ended, I got to talking to a lot of these guys that work. I told you about killing ECW, right?
No.
Well, I killed ECW when we did.
Oh,
that
that's right, you did. Yeah,
y'all. Well, we
I forgot
Power
about
Pro.
That.
We killed Power Pro too. It's the weirdest thing. I took a videotape and gave it to Brandon and Randy one Saturday. The next Saturday, the TV show was off the air.
Well, it couldn't have helped that Rodney Grimes had some co-promotion with him, and me and Neil appeared on some like West Memphis shows and. A lot of these guys were coming around Friday nights in Corinth, and that's how I had so much interaction with them. And I remember Lance Jade being around, Corinth and Selmer and all that, even before he turned up on Power Pro. And he was an interesting guy, to say the least.
There was something that Randy did that I was told, like if the guys worked Dysburg or worked other places, they would be asking a certain fee to wrestle. I don't know how true this is, but that's what I was told. And also told that Randy told them not to be doing jobs for a bunch of people that couldn't work, that they would lose their job if they was going to do jobs for people that couldn't work. So, yeah, that's a great idea when you're on TV, and it keeps it going instead of you going to, Dysburg losing to somebody like, BT Express or, Gene Jackson, so.
That's right. Waiting job on TV like Derek.
There you go. Derek will love that, by the way. We pretty much called him a jobber the whole time. Hey, Gene, what I want to ask you is, was it really that great?
No, you threw great in there. The show's wasn't really that good. You changed my answer. It was good.
Was it really that good then? I thought it was great.
It was
That's
good.
The reason I said
great.
That.
Great might be overstating the case a little bit, but it was good, and it's actually kind of inspired me to go and watch some more of the Power Pro that's on YouTube, and God forbid, maybe even dig up some of these DVDs I got in this closet here at the house, and watch some more Power Pro, and I'm hoping maybe we'll do some more episodes of this very show about Power Pro, maybe in different years and different stages, because there are some very, very distinct stages and eras of Power Pro. Of course, this being the non-Lawler stage of Power Pro, which I know there's a whole story about that, which we won't deal with now, obviously. But
guess what? Next time in February, we're going to be reviewing the February 24th, I haven't watched it yet, 2001 Memphis Championship Wrestling. That should be interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, I figured we'd go there. You know, what the heck? And I've got somebody that worked for Memphis Championship Wrestling. We may bring on and join us and talk about working for MCW. So, all right, guys, same bad time, same bad channel on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Big Move! And Gene, I love my mama. I couldn't say, be there. When it's Power Pro and Corey Macklin, so.
That'd be ridiculous!
Ambulance! Somebody get an ambulance!